I greet you all in Jesus' name. Ah, yes. We're making progress. So we'll try it again. I greet you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A Merry New Year to you all. Haven't seen you all since last year. It's been a while. The last time I saw you was 2019. And now we are in 2020. The only year where every 8 p.m., 8:20 p.m., 20 seconds in your 24-hour clock will read 2020. How nice. Now, this morning I've been asked to share a message on Thanksgiving. And if you have been following your bulletin, you will note that I am definitely not Keith Chua, for very obvious reasons. But if you followed your last week's bulletin, it was my name on it, so I'm covered. And so sharing on Thanksgiving, I prayed and asked the Lord, what would you want me to share to your people in this very first Sunday of 2020, as we are already in the season of Epiphany, where God reveals himself to us, to the rest of the world. And my attention was drawn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we had the wonderful reading from Brother Dave. And so I would like us to just focus a little bit on that, and that's where I'll be sharing from this morning as we open up our hearts to allow the Lord to speak to us. Now, this letter of Thessalonians was written by Paul. Paul writes this letter to the believers in Thessalonica, estimated around AD 51, while persecution was still gaining momentum, approximately 12 years before persecuting Christians would eventually become a sport by Emperor Nero. Paul wrote this letter, which is said to be his very first epistle, and some others may say it is not. These are all our estimations, but for the purpose of this study, we will agree that it is Paul's first letter. And if eventually we get to heaven and we discover he wrote other letters before this, we will apologize to him. But for now, this is his first letter. And his sole purpose was to encourage the Christians in their faith, the believers in Thessalonica. And while encouraging them in their faith, he was also expressing deep gratitude for their reception of his teaching and to further persuade them to living a life of holiness. And so, from the beginning in chapter 1, we see him beginning this chapter with thanksgiving for their faith. Chapter 2, he breaks down the methodology of his ministry amongst them, and his authenticity, still with gratitude, continually. You could see that in verse 13 of chapter 2. Chapter 3, he expresses joy concerning the reports he received from Timothy about them. Chapter 4, he reminds them of their purpose in life and that it is to please God. And having lived a life for God, we are not to be afraid of death on earth because we have hope and believe in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we will be raised again. Chapter 5, where we are now, he then reminds them of the words of Jesus and his second coming like a thief in the night. And so he leaves the final instructions from verse 12 to the end, amongst these instructions is one paragraph broken down into three verses, which we will be focusing on today. First, rejoice always. You see that in verse 16. And that is actually verse 16. Rejoice always. Secondly, Verse 17, pray continually. And that's just it. Pray continually. And then number 3, in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. And then there are other things that follow in that verse 18. But we'll be focusing on giving thanks in all circumstances. Now, the message of rejoice always will be very welcome because there is so much sadness in the world today. And so everybody is looking for a reason to be happy. I was sharing earlier on from my background, in Nigeria, we look for any reason to be happy. We just look for any reason. If there's no reason, we will have a party for no reason. In fact, when you have how our weddings are, if you had a wedding, on your wedding day, you will see tons of people. You have no idea who they are. Because if you gave me an invitation card, I will use that invitation card to invite my friends. And my friend will call his friend and say, what are you doing this Saturday? Nothing. Okay, my friend has invited me for a wedding. Whose wedding? I don't know, but let's go. We just look for any reason to be happy. There's so much sadness in the world, so the message of happiness would be very welcome. But pay attention to what Paul uses here. He doesn't say, be happy always. He says, rejoice always. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness tends to be a result of events, places, and it is externally triggered. We learned this last Sunday. Was this last Sunday? When was it that Reverend Calvin preached? You know, we've had so many services in the week, and I've lost count of which one is Sunday service and which one was a Sunday sermon. And I believe today is Sunday, right? Okay. Just to get that clear. That's what happens when Christmas and New Year's come on weekdays. Sometimes you get lost. I need to factory reset my head. But anyways, the last time we had Reverend Calvin, he talked about Psalm 100. And he was talking about the joy of the Lord. For those of you who were here, you would remember that. Paul does not use the word happy because happy is triggered by events, places, things. But joy, on the other hand, is from the inside. And it is self-triggered. In fact, someone once said, we experience joy when we achieve selflessness to the point of personal sacrifice. It is no wonder Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is not by rains falling or events. The events could be terrible, but you have joy within you, you will express it outwardly. And so Paul is clear. It is joy he's talking about. Secondly, pray continually. Prayer. This sounds very helpful, especially when you are in need. Once you are in need, you will be a very prayerful person. From my background, when we are in need, our prayers are very vicious. In fact, if God had a telephone, most of his phone calls would have been from Nigeria. And when you hear how we pray, very violently. But once our prayers have been met, once our needs have been met, once our prayers have been answered, what happens? We cool off. I believe it's the same even here. It's a struggle. It is a struggle. When I want to pass my exam, the first thing I do is I pray. Even before reading. Heavenly Father, as I approach my books to study, help me to be able to see where the questions are going to come from. When you're in need, you become very prayerful.
And the prayer even intensifies when you can see the answer to your prayer. It's approaching. As the answer is approaching, then it takes a diversion. Oh, no, 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 no. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, that's my answer. Why is it taking a left turn? Bring it back on track. Bring it back on track. You fast, you pray, you pray, you fast, you pray and fast, and you fast and pray together. So this sounds reasonable, especially when you're in need. But Paul does not say, pray when you're in need. What does he say? He says, pray continually. Pray all the time. Every time. Even when you're driving, be praying. It doesn't mean close your eyes and pray. But pray all the time, even in your heart. When you see people, pray in your heart. Pray continually. If you have joy in your heart, that joy comes from God alone. And if you have joy in your heart, then even your prayer will not be shallow. Your prayer will be inspired. And one of the first steps we see in an inspired prayer is the reason for gratitude. And so the first thing is that we should be grateful people because it is God's will for us. I'm not just saying this from the blues. It's there in verse 18. Verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. This is God's will for you. Isn't it a marvelous thing to know what God's will for you is? It's wonderful to know what God's will is for me. It's a wonderful thing that I know what it is. God created each and every one of us and had a purpose for keeping us alive. One out of many reasons we are left alive is to be people of thanksgiving, people of gratitude. Once upon a time, I was preaching here and I gave a very famous quote from my dad. And he says, an ungrateful person, it's a dangerous person. And most recently, he has even added, an ungrateful person is a very dangerous person. We can safely today add from Scripture that the reason an ungrateful person is dangerous is because that person does not know what God's will is for him or her. If you follow or befriend a person who has no direction or has no purpose, then get ready to be in the middle of nowhere all the time. That's gonna happen. It's always gonna happen. Once upon a time, I was driving back in Nigeria, and here, driving in Singapore is wonderful, I must say. It's even better than your food. Okay, I know that's going to open up an argument, but that's fine. When there's a diversion here, you have an arrow even showing you what direction to go. In Nigeria, when we have diversions, we actually create the diversion. Because you suddenly just see the road is blocked. Oh, the road is blocked. I think this little wilderness will allow me to go. And so you keep going. And if one car is going, then all the other cars behind just follow. Now, there was one time I was driving and the road was blocked. And I was so sure that this car that took a left turn was going through, that was, in my assumption, that was the diversion. And so I kept following this guy. And we kept driving for minutes. Minutes turned to an hour plus, and we still didn't get back on track. And so I stopped the car to ask someone else, how do I get back to the road to where I was going? And he said, oh, you left it far.
I felt like a very wise fool because I kept following someone who I thought was on the same track as I was. That's what it is like when you follow someone who has no direction. You just keep following and there's no direction. You just keep traveling, burning fuel and time and energy. God's purpose for us is to be people of thanksgiving. It is clear there. Secondly, God's will for you is only in Christ Jesus. And you see that in verse 18 also. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You cannot have a purpose in this life outside of Christ Jesus. For all your achievements, for all your acquisitions, everything you think you have and have done and have achieved, if you have done all of this and still do not know Jesus Christ or do not have Jesus in your heart, then all of it is useless. Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? God's will for you is only in Christ Jesus. And so whatever you think you've done, the simple mathematical equation for that, outside of Jesus, is very simple. It's all equal to zero. If you don't know your purpose in this life, then there's a high possibility you do not know Jesus. Very high possibility. Thirdly, thanksgiving must not be conditional. It must be in all circumstances, in every circumstance. Every circumstance. And I know this is very difficult to say because there are some circumstances where the first thing you want to ask God is why. And it's a legit question. It's a legit question. We had a woman in our church back at home. Okay, this is my new home now. So back in Nigeria, we had a woman who had lived for years with her husband. For years with her husband. And her husband was so close to her that he didn't eat food outside except his wife prepared it. He ate only what his wife prepared. These two lovebirds were everywhere all the time together. And then the wife died. This man lost weight in just weeks. He cried and cried and cried. And at that point, when you get invited as a pastor, what do you say? I was invited to talk to him and I was literally, is this the part where I'm now supposed to start telling him, oh my brother, give thanks in all circumstances? Oh, the first thing he's going to say, you wait when your wife dies, then we'll see how you could give thanks. Because these are difficult things to say. To give thanks in all circumstances is not that easy. It's not that easy. Sadly, but as we suspected or predicted, the end of that story is that exactly 1 year after his wife's death, he also died. We predicted it was going to happen that way. He was not eating. He was not doing anything. He was looking forward to dying. Thanksgiving must be in all circumstances. History records that the hymn that was chosen by Bishop Wilson for the evensong that was held here in this service in the middle of uncertainty during the war was "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. To His feet thy tribute bring." Personal. "Praise Him for His grace and favor." The reason.
Angels, help us to adore him, even inviting other beings to join in praising God. That's a clear example of thanking God in all circumstances. Because the appropriate hymn, I would have thought, for Bishop Wilson to choose for that even song, and it's even an even song, he should have picked a canticle. I have a perfect canticle for him to have picked, Psalm 109. And I would have asked the organist to pay, you know, make sure you pay emphasis on verse 8, where he talks about his enemies, you know, and he says, "My enemies, may my enemies' days be few." Now that is very appropriate for that kind of service. Or even in verse 9, where he says, "May his children be fatherless. May his wife be a widow." Now that sounds kind of nice. When you have people persecuting you, that's the first thing you want to think. Especially when you're being persecuted for no reason. Oh yes, for persecuting me, may your days be few. That would have been perfect. But no, that's not what was chosen. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Doesn't this kind of remind you of Paul and Silas in prison? After they received some wonderful beating. And when they were thrown in jail, instead of trying to find out where all the pains were, they burst out into singing hymns and praising God. And what was the result? A mighty earthquake. And they even had an extra to go with. They got freedom that they didn't even ask for. Their chains fell off. That's what happens when you praise God in all circumstances. You give God room, you allow him, you give him the opportunity to act the way he wants to. And when God acts the way he wants to, no man can predict. It will always be a surprise. A person full of gratitude is a person who has witnessed God. Psalm 100 says, "Come before the Lord with gladness." The psalmist says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And the psalmist makes a list of things. And each time he makes that list, the next line goes, "His love endures forever." Let all Israel say, "His love endures forever." When we look through 2019, we have every reason to thank God. And so I'd like to make a list of some things I have observed. I've not stayed very long in Singapore, but from the little time I've stayed here and in the family of St. Andrews, there are some things I've paid attention to and I've just written down. Even though it's a very long list, I've cut it down short. So I will read it out, and like the psalmist, your response will be, "His love endures forever." So I'll let you know by doing this. Then you will respond, "His love endures forever." As a family of St. Andrews, God has helped us refurbish the bells and even add new ones. He has helped us get pipes for the organ. He was with us in the preparation for the bicentennial celebration. He helped us in constructing the pavilion and completing it. He has been our shield from all sorts of terrorist attacks. He has constantly provided health, shelter, and food. This list can go on and on and on and on, and it won't end. But I'll give you just some 20 seconds to think through your life. If there's anything you want to add in this list, please do.
And so to all God's people,
oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And let us together say, his love endures forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.